Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Adrienne Herbert, wellness coach, international speaker, and author. Each week, I speak to a variety of guests, from business founders to Olympic athletes, leading coaches, change makers, and innovators, to find out their daily habits, their rules to live by, and what motivates them to get up out of bed each day. Personally, I am on a mission to encourage, motivate, and inspire, so I hope that the Power Hour will help you to achieve your personal and professional goals.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Power Hour podcast. Firstly, I hope that you have all been enjoying some white space. After I shared the mini episode last week, I've received so many messages from people and also so many tags, people tagging their friends and people that apparently need more white space in their lives right now. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then go ahead and listen to last week's mini episode, which is all about the importance of white space. In today's episode, I am joined by Natalie Pennicote-Collier. Natalie is a performance well-being and sleep expert, mind coach, and she's worked with elite sportsmen and women from Team GB, as well as helping business leaders as well. So in today's conversation, we talk about life after lockdown, we talk about decision-making, about simplification and simplifying our lives. And I always enjoy my conversations with Natalie. I love her curious mind and the way she talks and the way she thinks about things. It always challenges me to think a little bit differently as well. So it's a very honest conversation and I really hope that you will enjoy it. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Power Hour podcast. Today, I'm joined by Natalie Pennicote-Collier. For any of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, then you may have heard my previous interview with Natalie. I think it was way over a year ago. It's actually in December 2019. So I'm really excited to welcome Natalie back onto the show for episode 2. Natalie, how are you?
Yeah, thank you. I'm good. It's good to be back. We've been planning this for a while, and actually it couldn't be more timely, could it? Because we could never have imagined the innovation and trauma that have collided in the last, what, 20 months since I've been back on. So thank you for this opportunity.
Well, absolutely. As you say, the last year, year and a half, it just seems it's getting longer and longer, has, yeah, as you say, it's forced innovation. It's been a global trauma. It's been a change. And as somebody who works in the space of well-being, in performance, you know, helping people, you work with Team GB athletes, you work with high performing individuals to really, you know, optimize their lives, to help them find processes, to help them find the tools, the habits, the different changes, and to be more resilient. So of all the people I could have spoken to today, I definitely think that, yeah, this is a very timely conversation. And there's just so much that I want to get into. I think firstly, you know, the last year for me, I've talked a lot and I've listened a lot about the work and life. And I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, how our work and life has had to change and how remote working and kind of corporate organizations have had to change, how we've all had to adapt. But I keep hearing this conversation around how it's been forever changed and how things have accelerated and they'll never go back and that we're all going to create a new normal. And so some of the things I'd love to talk to you about, Natalie, are
the changes that have come and how we can kind of, you know, embrace and adapt to change. Decision making, because that's a big key thing for a lot of people right now. And simplicity, actually, and how we can use some of these decisions to simplify our lives. So that's, I guess, all the things I want to dive into. So let's kick off with, yeah, the decision making part, because as I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will have had to make some big decisions in the last year. I know that friends and co-workers and colleagues and family members have talked about all of these big life decisions, which for some people, they've said, okay, maybe it's getting a dog, maybe it's moving to a new city, changing their job, changing career, some people getting engaged, some people getting divorced, you know, there's all of these changes. And actually, sometimes making decisions in a time of change and stress and trauma can be, you know, people say, oh, don't make a decision now, it's not a good time to make a big decision because there's all this stuff going on. But for other people, they're like, no, like it's accelerated change, it's exciting because it's given them a push to say, you know what, maybe I would have sat in my comfort zone for years and years and years, but the last year has made me go, I want to change things. I don't want to waste time. I want to really, you know, just take the plunge or kind of have this like knee-jerk reaction. So yeah, Natalie, what can you talk to us a little bit about decision making? Apparently we make 35,000 decisions a day is what I read. So I'd love to hear from you on, all of those decision-making points and big life decisions.
So thanks, Adrian. It's all of the above, isn't it? This is a complex time full of everything that you just said, trauma, innovation, complex decision-making. We've been trading off imperfect environment and circumstances. But it's also the crucible of our lives right now. And that's really interesting and useful for us, okay? In the imperfect art of being human. So we got to move away from this perfectionism that we have around decision-making. If anything, that just traps us. Perfectionism puts us squarely in that circle that increases failure and rejection and amplifies burnout and poor mental health. And that's the opposite of what we want. And, you know, you and I both love this word. You know, this is essentially where I see our job and our passion and our careers is very much the same. We help people innovate their thinking for me. And I would suggest the same for you as well. I always meet people at these crucibles of their life, whether something traumatic has happened to them, whether something exciting that they feel they're not quite ready for, a massive job promotion, or something else where they actually, you know, as an athlete, this is a 4-year performance pathway. And just like we know in elite sport, performance leaves a trail. And I also know that these moments in our life, the crucible, we can call it, everybody knows what's going on in the context of their life, but it's been amplified. The whole of our lives have been stripped back, haven't they? So we're more aware. But unless you know how to be self-aware, and that is the number one habit or return on investment of habit that we can create. And that's super, super, super useful, not necessarily helpful, but useful when it comes to decision-making. So you know I love Alvin Toffler, the futurist. I just want to say this one thing before we, just to kind of frame this whole conversation. Because for me, this is a conversation between the two of us as coaches, helping people innovate. Okay, it's not about fixing. It's not about me overlaying how I think people should think or behave. It's about people having more choice and saying, actually, where am I right now? Toffler, the Toffler effect. If anybody has not read Future Shock, please do. But the illiterate, and I say that in inverted commas, of the 21st century will be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. I pretty much know that's the sum total of my life thus far.
I really want people to hear what you just said. So it's to learn, unlearn, and relearn. And I'm someone who, yes, as you know, Natalie, I'm obsessed with lifelong learning. And, you know, I'm, yes, always talking to people about learning styles and figuring out, you know, how do you as an individual learn? Is it through reading? Is it through auditory? Is it through visual? But I love that idea that actually you don't just learn something and then that's it. You can stop. You know everything. You know, the ability. And I think the people who are the most curious, as you mentioned, we're both obsessed with innovation, but the people that are the most curious, the people that ask the most questions, they're most willing to learn and to, exactly, rethink as well. I'm big on, you know, Adam Grant with his rethinking. Learn something, but then, yeah, question yourself. Think like a scientist.
Yes.
Is there something here that could change your mind? Could you rethink this to make it a little bit better. And I think, yeah, continually relearning and being open to the fact that we're all going to have to do that for the rest of our lives. Nothing's going to stay the same. That to me is exciting. It's really exciting.
Exactly. And that's what I'm helping. And that's my suggestion, if you like, for everyone listening right now. It can and will be a crucible of your life. The last 18 months of your life has to have some meaning, you know, so that we move away from this post-traumatic trauma and into the growth stage. So what happens if there's no learning and we don't adapt? As I just outlined, we can guarantee it's a fast track towards the things that are going to speed us up with burnout, poorer quality of mental health, and certainly happiness. Productivity is going to go down. So it's so useful for me. This just comes back to everything that you're about. Let's infuse some more meaning to the power hour. Let's go deeper. What are you doing right now that can help you? How do you stay resilient? What does that really mean? It really means having this ability in a really practical self to have self-awareness. That is everything. If you strip everything back to being self-aware, then you have this capacity and this time and this space, or white space as you call it, to learn, unlearn and relearn. But there's another thing, and this all comes from elite sport because it's never ever more amplified, as I said, because the one thing that pretty much catches all of us out, I would suggest myself included, especially being called a performance mind coach, is this fallacy of perfectionism. As I said right at the beginning, that puts you squarely in a circle that increases and amplifies failure and rejection.
Well, there's two things you mentioned that I'm straight away, I'm thinking, okay, self-awareness and perfectionism. And I think there's something about both of those things. So when you said self-awareness, I'm thinking, okay, you know, when it comes to making these big decisions, as we said at the top, whether it's moving house, whether it's changing your job, getting a dog, often I think we look outwards and we say to other people, what do you think I should do? You know, they ask a friend, or you might ask your mum, or you might ask your boss and say, you know, what do you think I should do, and get advice. And I know friends that do, you know, list the pros and cons, but actually trusting ourselves, you know, when you say self-awareness, I think it really takes a lot to be able to trust yourself enough to say, I'm going to make this decision. Maybe you're not going to be 100%, maybe you're 90% sure, 80%, whatever, but actually trusting yourself instead of asking everyone else to try and, I guess, make the decision for you. So would you say that, yeah, the self-awareness piece, how can people kind of check and say, actually, am I making my decisions in my life, or am I outsourcing my decision-making to others?
Exactly. We need both. There's no right or wrong answer to this, but we can look really effectively, and particularly in our world. I always have to come back to empirical research working in elite sport. So there's like over 50 years of empirical research alone on self-awareness. You need two skills. You need to be able to, first and foremost, have this foundational piece to be self-aware. First of all, you need to pause and innovate that time. You know, and this can be as little as 10 minutes of your day. You know, less than 1% of your 24 hours. If this is the crucible of your life, which I think we can pretty much all guarantee for all of us in the last 18 months, and it continues to be, will be a defining moment. Okay, I want to be able to look back on that and go, I have the courage to be wrong, to change, to adapt, to learn, unlearn, and relearn. How do I do that? What's the practicalities? It's not this, you know, magical superpower search. It's this ability to be imperfectly human. We've got to be able to pause. So whatever that looks like for me, meditation. That's what drives people to have this defined ritual or this practice. But alongside that as well, you need to have the internal chatter right. You need to have your little ecosystem in your mind to say, can I just think and feel this? Because there's no mind and body disconnection. It's not just a head thing, it's head and heart together. Creates better performance away from the stress response. Can I create some time to innovate and challenge my thinking? Am I prepared, and do I have the courage to be wrong? I have to be able to do that. Okay, so for me, what effectively we do is help people have better self-insight by pattern detecting. You can only pattern detect if you have pauses or white space, as we both talk about, in your day. Because otherwise, what happens? If we don't do that, and this is what catches athletes out all the time in high performance and those at the top of their game, When do you think this floods out? Because the unconscious, the different parts of your brain that are highly active just when you transition into sleep, shout really loudly. The unconscious doesn't rest. So unless you're generous to it and allow some time of reflection and self-learning, if you just want to talk about it in a really practical sense, when is that going to happen? If you don't allow that to happen, then it creates this distrust, this feeling of energy that I don't quite feel myself. And then what are you going to engage in? What I see people day in, day out, what catches them out? It's like little dusty old post-it notes on their head, on their arms, weighing them down. That's making a decision and then not owning the process.
Yeah, well, I think, again, going back to how do we make these decisions, as you just mentioned, if you don't have that space in your day, if you never have any space to really kind of consider and look and I guess be active in the decision making, because if you're going from one thing to another, as we say, without space, you wake up, you know, into whatever it is, work, kids, maybe it's workout, maybe it's a call, maybe it's something else. And then that repeats day after day after day. When are you actively making a decision? You're just going from one thing to the next thing to the next. And myself included, I've certainly done that in the past, where I just kind of, before you know it, it's been weeks, it's been months, and then you're like, did I actually choose that, or is this just become, you know, what I'm doing now? So I think, yeah, having active time to actively make decisions, I really, really like that. And, you know, for listeners of the show who know about, you know, my white space concept, it's essentially just having empty space in your diary, in your calendar, which I think is more important than ever, to have space to do this kind of thing. Because with the second thing that I wanted to talk to you about, this simplicity idea and how we can simplify our lives, that basically came off the back of me reading an article that just said, you know, 8 ways to simplify your life. And I'd also been reading a book by Dan Harris called 10% Happier, and he talks about discovering mindfulness and meditation.
Brilliant.
So the two kind of crossed over in my mind, and I was thinking something that stood out to me was that it said less is more, which I'm sure we've all heard, but it was describing it as the less stress and the less obligations and the less work and the less to-dos and the less things gives you space for more of what you choose, more freedom, more spontaneity, more time, more joy. And of course, it sounds simple to say, you know, have less stress, have less work, have less problems, and have more of the things that you want. But again, it always comes back to how. It's fine just hearing something and being like, yeah, great, I'm going to simplify my life. But then how do I actually do that? What comes off the list, you know?
Absolutely. And I would even simplify that conversation further to say, you're innovating time for brilliance, creativity. You know, if I have this conversation all the time, don't get me wrong. So currently working on a project for Snowsport England called Backing the Best. So we're looking at the performance pathway from these insanely talented under 9s to under 10s. If I start chatting to them about mindfulness, you need to do this, that has no meaning in their lives. If I say, have you got time to innovate your talent? It takes 10 minutes. Here's how to do it. This linguistic shift is everything. That's how you innovate your mindset. Check the language that you're using. And this always comes back down to sleep, because it's essentially, in order to optimize, I don't particularly love that word. I'm all about, are things productive or unproductive? Are they useful or unuseful? Just take it back to neutrality and think about the return on investment of your habits. The biggest return you'll ever, ever get is sleep alongside self-awareness, alongside self-talk.
Sleep, self-awareness, self-talk. I like that. All those S's. I like that. I think actually, and it's interesting, as soon as you said most people have got kind of 2 out of 3 down, I was thinking, which of those 2 for me? And you're right, because for me, I'd say I probably have the sleep down. You know, I'm a big, you know, sleep to win. The self-awareness piece, I certainly do a lot of work on that. But the self-talk is probably my Achilles heel. That's the one where it's always, I guess, and we've spoken about this recently, and I shared a post online about this around kind of a relentless feeling of pursuit and ambition and drive. And I think sometimes that's my superpower, is like, I want to do it all and I want to go. But then the self-talk part comes in, I think, when it's like, you know what, if you make a mistake, or if you're late on a deadline, or if you haven't achieved something, this kind of relentless pursuit of achievement, for me, the self-talk thing, that's when that comes in and gets negative. And it's like, oh, Adrienne, you've taken on too much, or you've let this person down, or you've dropped the ball, or why haven't you? And it's kind of, I think that's, I'm sure so many people do it, but I think having the constant.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. And think, you know, this is what I love about your podcast, is this honesty that actually you enable everybody to have. Don't think for a second I don't have to have that conversation. In fact, a very wise person told me once, a meditation or mindfulness, whatever you choose to call it, or this white space or this innovation, if you don't do that, you do not compost your daily BS. Can you afford to do that? In its simplistic terms, I know I can't afford to allow my BS to accumulate because it blocks my brilliance. It blocks my energy for those that matter around me. It blocks it for me. I have less choice if the walls of BS are filling up around me. And I have to pay constant attention to these three S's. Don't think for a second. We had a conversation. I'm currently wearing a shoulder brace because I have a C-spine injury. The irony as I got my first book deal. So I have to dictate instead of type.
Adapting.
Exactly. It's not forever. You have to have a lightness of rent, okay? Whenever I'm working, you know, if you have a body, let me say this. If you have a body, you're an athlete. Facts. If you have a brain, you're an athlete, okay? We always want to push things. That's the whole beauty and evolution of being human. We're always going to want more.
Okay, so this is great. And Natalie, this is why I always love having conversations with you. You and I, you know, we can talk and talk and talk because we love this stuff. And I think, you know, sometimes I forget, to be honest, that this is being recorded for other people to listen to. So it's interesting when you say about, you know, me being honest and vulnerable, because I forget that people are going to listen to this. But if we were to look back then, you know, this idea of simplicity and saying, okay, there's been so much going on in the world, so much change, so many things, work, commitments, etc. If someone's listening to this and thinking, yes, actually, I do need to simplify. I want to focus on the sleep, the self-awareness and the self-talk. But this idea of actually, yeah, less stress, less work, less running around and more of the things that we love, more joy, more freedom, more time. What, I guess, where could they start? So if we go with the power hour as an example in the morning, how could we use our power hour this week to start to simplify our lives?
Exactly. Well, let's have a look at it from a learn, unlearn and relearn cycle. So that's always the, you know, even just writing that. Am I prepared to learn, unlearn and relearn? It's so useful. It expands everything. Whenever we're in decision-making mode, particularly if we're not used to or comfortable being in our whole person. So if we don't really have, if we haven't really connected down, and that's totally fine, by the way, if we haven't connected down with any kind of time alone, time with our thoughts, silence, meditation, mindfulness, whatever these labels you like to call it, okay, if we are not innovating and paying attention to our own mind, the whole thing will just come out of the CO, prefrontal cortex. Okay, that's not the whole picture. It's a little bit like our conversation first thing this morning, where I initially said no, and it didn't sit with me right. I'll own that. I'm writing my book. It's half term, a dog barking outside, the middle of a build renovation project. It would be easy for me to chase the perfectionism to go, actually, I'm coming on completely unprepared, talking to a coach. I admire you, but also a friend. And I'm aware there's going to be maybe a million people listening to this. I could overthink it from my brain and go, do you know what? I don't know. I won't do this unless I have it all perfected out. It didn't sit right with me. Sometimes no isn't the whole story. And I loved your conversation, by the way, with Chloe Brotheridge, and that whole no is a full stop sentence. Yes. But sometimes it's not the whole sentence. That's all I'm saying. How do we know that? We only know if we spend time paying attention to the urges, alerts and signals from our whole person. You know, those gut feelings, whatever you like to call it. Remember I told you something absolutely crucial. The unconscious doesn't sleep. It doesn't rest. Can we be generous to it and at least listen for less than 1% of our day? When people do that, time and time again, the most effective leaders, I don't mean in business. I mean, I want to go through this life being an effective leader myself of me. Mm-hmm. What's the point otherwise? I want to be continuously skilled. I'm not the finished article. Every time I listen and sit down with somebody, I learn. And that helps me and it helps them in their lives. It gives you the driving seat. of this beautiful F1 performance car. Okay. So think about, so let's talk about innovation, something we're both. So I love the concept of the power hour. You know that. I'll also add on the golden zone just before at night as well. And I love mutually this white space. For me, that's the whole picture, because our mood, our environment changes throughout the day. So it's really useful just to have those three points to listen to. But let's talk about innovating the power hour. Have you changed it?
Okay, so has the power hour changed? Are you asking me or are you asking the listeners to ask themselves?
I'm asking the listeners to ask themselves, because you and I are not fixing people's lives. Mm. We're enabling people's lives.
Okay, then. So for the listeners who are thinking, okay, has your power hour changed? I love that. Has your power hour innovated? Because, of course, you know, everything's changed. So for me, I'm just thinking now, I'm like, I love the idea of, you know, trial and error. So with what you're describing, relearning, I don't want people to think, you know, you've got to change it and that's it forever. So it's like, can you just trial and error, try out different things? Maybe for a week, okay, I'm going to try, say, get up every day, I'm going to go out for a walk and just leave my phone at home. Or it might be, okay, for a week, I'm going to get up and I'm going to journal. Or for a week, and just try different things out. And often when people ask me as well, they'll say, oh, well, you know, do you have to do it every single day? And even that, if for you, I'm an all or nothing person. So for me, it's like, I really lean into repetition and I'm like 100%. So it's like, yeah, of course, I'm going to do it every day. But for other people, I'm like, maybe for you, it's not that. Maybe it's every Wednesday you have a power hour. Or maybe it's every Monday you have a power hour. But actually just, yeah, being willing, I really like this, I'm going to write it down, learn, unlearn, relearn. Which are the things that are great and you're like, yes, I'm going to do that again and again and again? And which are the things that actually aren't great, which you can change? And as you say, essentially that is what innovation is. So if anyone takes anything from this week, it's actually maybe it's the time to reassess and innovate your own power hour. Make it your own. You know, having a consistent power hour for me is the thing that stays the same, but what I do within that time absolutely changes throughout the year for sure.
Exactly. And it needs to be on the seasonality. You know, that's exactly the same cycle for the life journey of all of us as athletes. As I said, if you have a body or you have a mind, you're an athlete. Okay, let's just strip it down to basics here. Okay, it's really important. You know, sleep, self-talk, self-awareness is another useful cue. Where am I? It's removing the judgment. You have to, even if you infuse your current power hour with a really helpful lens of self-compassion, even if you just did one thing and you changed the tone of how you speak to yourself, or just had the courage to have a little look, what am I doing? Is it keeping me adaptive now, or is it keeping me safe? I prefer the language or the linguistic shift of not are things good or bad. That's inaccurate. Are they useful? Unuseful. Productive? Unproductive. Helping me be fast or slow. These things open up so much more innovation in our beautiful mind. But also, if you're just operating out, because we're all living too much in our heads. And if anything, that's been the biggest takeaway for me. You know, we had this chat, I think, even 19 months ago. You know, the last decade for me, I've just turned 42 years young, has been the most tremendous growth in terms of my career, outward facing and also inward facing. But I'm aware I've got two tiny minds watching. And I wanted to be sure that in the crucible of my life, my experience of the last 18 months, unique to me and my family, I wanted to be sure that I could look back and say I was also there for my kids, not everyone else. It's kids too, me and everyone else.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, so many people with children will probably relate to that feeling, especially this last year, of going, okay, I'm now a teacher. Okay, they're at home. You're trying to
exactly.
do, you know, all these different things and saying, okay, as you say, they're always there, they're always listening, they're always learning. It's this whole thing of, you know, lead by example. And actually, we're not perfect. As you said, you know, we're not perfect as individuals, as parents, as human beings. And so I think for a lot of people, when you know, again, with the honesty thing, when you said about the self-compassion, that is something, I'll be really honest, Natalie, that is something that it just doesn't come naturally to me. And what I really struggle with is this idea that, okay, let's say someone who is, you know, top of their game, high performing, whether they're an athlete, whether they're a business person, whether they're, I don't know, whatever. I sometimes feel like, you know, people talk about the edge, you know, they'll say having this edge, this relentless pursuit, you know, sometimes I think actually if I embrace this self-compassion, and for a lot of people, they'll call it self-care, or, you know, it's all these different things.
what's the payoff? What's the compromise? Because could, this is my question to you, you know, could yes. some, because you know what I'm trying to get at, right? It's like to myself, I'm yeah. going, Adrienne, you're not going to achieve those things if you don't work in this way. And actually, if you do, you know, self-compassion, you feel like you're taking your foot off the gas. And I know a lot of friends feel the same. So my question is, could some people who've achieved such incredible things, would they have been able to achieve such great things if they hadn't, if they'd listened to self-compassion, if they'd taken their foot off the gas, and if they'd given 10% less, would they have done it? And I'm thinking of people like Michael Jordan and that kind of, you know, that pursuit, that relentless, aggressive pursuit.
What you don't realise is the quiet thing enabling them to stay there longer is self-compassion. I want a full catastrophe living. Okay, I'm a natural rebel. I've had to learn consistency and discipline. Okay, I continuously learn to do that. Okay, particularly effective in my job to continuously learn to do that. Particularly effective right now in the process of writing a book when it's 35 degrees. Remember, I'm in hibernation mode as the world is emerging. Yeah. That in itself. Okay, so two things that you said there, cause and effect. You're seeing it as keeping you away from that cliff edge. I'm telling you, it enables you to dance over it and stay there for longer. Mm. Like climbing El Cap. do you want to lean over and go, I like being here, I'm going to take a selfie, it feels good? Or do you want to climb it, own it, and go down in history?
Wow.
So the quiet unspoken thing that's protecting, and this is what I jumped in when you posted this the other day. For me, I have all this exact energy and ambition, this relentless desire to help, inform, to help people innovate. You know what's fueling that. It's a continuous journey. It gives my life meaning. Okay, but I've also got to protect that energy. When does that energy rest? Just think about your ambition. If you don't let your ambition rest, what will happen? I know what happens because I meet people when this has happened. I'm saying it's more useful and helpful to think about this concept before and go, can I invest? What's the return on investment of my habits? I deal in habits that aren't necessarily external, habits of mind, habits of thinking. The ultimate ROI is this self-awareness and self-talk.
Yeah.
Just pay a little bit of attention. That's what gives, time and time again, that's the only reason that athletes listen to me. There has to be this cause and effect for them. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
If I talk to them about a performance mind or whatever, it all sounds like, you know, fad psychology or the words of the moment, resilience. What does it really mean? Ultimately, I'm not there in their pocket. Ultimately, the second before they perform, it's coming from their unconscious. And so they need to pay attention. They need to be kind to it. And that's the kind of self-care that really helps us in those moments. You know, that's what resilience really is. You can plan to be resilient, but it's this unprocessive, you know, this beyond split second. Okay. And you only get that by being prepared to innovate and call out your own BS, as I call it, in its simplest form.
Yeah. And you know what I'm thinking, honestly, Natalie, when you say call out that BS, I'm thinking, Adrienne, it's the ego. You know, so many of my friends who are incredibly high performing people, when I'm honest and have this conversation with them, they say, Adrienne, we all feel the same. You know, we all have this ego that's telling us, you know, do more, you achieve something, cross it off the list, go to the next thing. It never feels like you're, you know, and then as you said, it's not that, okay, when I describe it to them, they're like, it's not taking your foot off the gas. It's not, you know, it's not a complacency or becoming idle. Actually, as you described, to be able to maintain and sustain the work and the ambition that I have, and a lot of people listening to this show, I'm sure that's why they tune in. You know, people tell me whether it's for motivation, whether it's for, I don't know, inspiration to try something new, it's because they are trying to achieve something great, something that they've always wanted to do, something they know deep down other people might roll their eyes and go, oh, you're going to start that business, or oh, you're going to write that book, or oh, you know, but you know what, they know, you know. And that's what I love about the, you know, every message I get from anyone who listens to this show, I love that, because I always say to them, no one else knows what you are capable of. No one else needs to approve your wish list, your dream list. You are the only person, really. Ultimately, you know, your life is yours to own. You are the only person. So I think, you know, speaking to anyone listening who goes, oh my gosh, yes, I've got so many things I want to achieve, so many things I want to do. How do I find that balance between go mode and, yeah, this kind of self-compassion? And actually, I'm struggling there with you, but don't let anyone limit your ambition, because let's be real, I wouldn't have achieved the things that I've achieved. Natalie, I'm sure you'd say the same. And a lot of the athletes you work with, if you didn't have that innate belief that, you know what, rest, sleep, self-talk, self-awareness, resilience, all these things, but deep down, you know what you're capable of. You know what you're capable of. And so, yeah, I think putting all these tools into action can just make it a reality. Well, Natalie, before I move on to my quickfire questions, which I'm asking at the end of every show, which I've been looking forward to, I'd just love to drop in that you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, right now, as the world's emerging, you're going deep in the cave, you're book writing, and I know you can't really talk too much about it, but I know a little bit, obviously, about what you're working on, and I'm super, super excited for everyone, actually, to be able to get their hands on this. So I hope the book process goes really, really well, and when you can, let me know the title, all those things that I can share, because I'm sure the listeners are going to be going, okay, she said she's writing a book. What is this book and when is it out?
It's out next March, a little clue. But I think I've given roughly the game away. Sleep, self-talk, self-awareness. But really, it's helping people innovate, as we both love to do. So thank you for allowing me to jump on. I hope it's been really useful. I know sometimes people might not have a sharp focus on this, but I think actually, we all really do. We just need to simplify the conversation first and foremost in our own mind. And the best time to do that is to think about, am I innovating my power hour? And additionally, if I want to go further, have I got white space? And have I thought about the golden zone, as I talk about just before night? Because that's the one thing. It's not that people stumble. It's because continuously they don't pay attention right at the last minute. Okay, that allows you to unvelcro from some of your daily BS. That keeps you going. That keeps you unstoppable. Okay.
Great. Oh my gosh. Great. So much gold. Okay. So let's rattle through the quick fire round, because we are both long winded. So we're going to try and keep it snappy. Okay. So my first one is going to be, just because I love this question, I think it's super interesting. What is something?
I don't know what they are yet.
Okay, what is something that you have which brings you joy, something that you love, that you bought for £100 or less?
Self-awareness. All day long.
Okay, one book that you recommend to absolutely everybody that they should read.
Oh, too many. That's too tough. Yours, obviously. Future Shock. Because I don't think enough people know about this. Alvin Toffler.
Great. Future Shock, Alvin Toffler. I'm adding that to my list. One piece of advice, one short and small piece of advice that for someone listening to this conversation who says, okay, I'm down, I'm going to simplify. What's the one thing they need to remember?
Enjoy stillness. Enjoy innovation. And do it. You can read all the self-help books. You can listen to all the podcasts. What I see time and time again is that tiny little compassionate action. Drive your own car. Compassionate action response.
Yes, take action. Okay, and the last question, as we love the power hour and time and this idea of making the most of it, if I could give you one extra hour every single day, what would you use that bonus extra time to do?
Oh my God, this is effortless right now. Move without pain. Take my shoulder brace off. Dance. I literally haven't been able to move without pain for 9 weeks. So freedom, and get outside. Look, loosen up, actually. Let me refine that. Loosen up. Loosen the reins. Just loosen the reins. And I have the one thing I really forgot, and I just want to add this. I know this is slightly extra. I did forget my sense of humor button in the last 18 months, and I'm determined to bring that back.
Yeah, I like that.
I really lost that. And that infuses things with a different tone, enables you to get unstuck, a sense of humor, and loosen up time and time again. Athletes, type A personalities, performers, we all forget that. That's a tiny little thing that's free. Loosen up, for sure.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, because we can all get very serious up in here. So I like that idea of, like, you know what? It's not that deep. Loosen up. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Natalie, for joining again. I always love our conversations. I know the listeners are going to enjoy this. It's very timely. So thank you. And I really hope that next time I speak to you, next time I see you, that you are going to be pain-free and fully recovered. So yeah, wishing you all the best. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Me too. Thanks for this opportunity.